Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mach and Pajach podcast. It's the third one. I'm Paul Mach. Mach, and that is Chris Pajach. Pajach. While we start things...
No, it's Christopher Andrew Pajach.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. But it isn't, though.
No,
it is. Which we'll come to a little bit later on. Those of you new to the podcast, thank you, hello, welcome, subscribe to the YouTube channel, or leave a 5-star rating on iTunes, which we are now on. Put it there. Well done.
Yes. I was really scared you were going to pull
then. No.
That look in the eyes, like, you're not on camera.
So I was on a live stream over the weekend, and I was offered a high five situation. I was like,
did you know the man?
What are you doing? Yeah, I did miss, but I also know he's the kind of person who would withdraw the
on
hand.
On camera?
Yeah, you can't.
You don't
do
need
it live.
Those type of people in your life.
It's almost,
to be honest.
I'm tempted to use this as the page, is trying to do elaborate like high fives or high fives and handshakes on live streams. Or a recipe for disaster because you're placing a lot of trust in the other person.
Just in real life. Never mind just on... I mean, it's worse on camera, but in real life, there's a real, like, you need to know the person.
Yeah.
Don't you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I looked at you then and thought, you wouldn't do it on camera. Not on this show. You'd do it on Red Men. You'd be sad with doing it on Red Men, but you want to make this a little bit better than
Red Men. Well, it was a sort of pseudo pack we've had to stop making each other look like bellends.
Yeah, we're doing enough ourselves. We don't need to fucking do it to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. We spent a number of years making each other look like bellends on Red Men, so we'll try our best to be next to each other on this one. So, those of you who knew, the structure is we've got the page, which we're going to pick some stuff that we really hate and talk about it. We're going to get through some interesting topics of the week.
I just don't think one's enough for me on the page. Can I do two every week, because I've got two belters this week that have really been doing my head in, and I'm not even going back into the past like you. You're going back historical paging, which is fine. It's totally fine. I've got stuff that does my head in on a weekly basis that I could fill an hour with.
Well, how's about this? Is if the page proves a popular segment, we might make it its own. We'll make it its own thing in due course.
That's a lot of pressure. That'll do me head in.
You can page that then, can't you?
I will do.
News topics that we're bringing to the table.
I ain't paging me bell end.
You haven't got the time.
Maybe just briefly.
With me tonight. Discussion topic.
Go away, come back.
We're going to get to know Chris a little bit more later on. With some random questions from yourselves.
Well, not
a little
Chrissy.
Life coaching.
Little
shut off. We've got some life coaching for you. So stay tuned if you want to be better human beings at the end of the podcast. Right.
From us.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. I don't know what you... people want to... Actually, I'll give you a little...
Are you kidding me?
People want to, if we've got any tips on how to talk to women, stay tuned for the end of that.
No, this is going to do my head in as well, because I know roughly where we're going to go with that question already. I've only just read the question right now, and I already know that you are going to make me look like a tit, and we are going to go there.
No, I'm going to make that up as I go along. I've not pre-planned any of this.
Okay,
stuff.
Well, I'm going to play Chris Pajach, Paul Machin, bingo, and I'm going to write down exactly what you're going to say.
Okay, so, right, I'll start with my page then, while you're trying to preempt. Now we're into a dangerous game of cat and mouse where I'm going to have to try and second guess your thoughts on me. I think I know what you think I was going to ask. But we'll see. Right, thing that's done my head in this week. I'll get to it. I went to Portugal to cover the Pro Evo European Regional Finals, which was brilliant.
Oh, go on you.
Yeah.
It's twice in like 5 minutes you've mentioned going to Portugal.
Is it?
Yeah.
When did I mention Portugal?
We were talking about high fives before.
I didn't mention going to Portugal.
Well, you've mentioned it three times now.
I went and it was a brilliant experience and it was amazing. But what my page is this week, I used to think that I was born too late. I think I'd have been perfectly suited to grow up in the 60s or the 70s or whatever. Now I realise that I was born a decade too early, because I'm looking at these people, and we're fortunate that we're able to, you know, we make a living off being YouTubers, largely speaking, and this new wave of media thing. But I'm ultra convinced that if I was 10 years younger, I'd be far more successful at the whole endeavour. And I look at esporters, and I look at these people who are basically... I used to look at freestylers 5 or 6 years ago and think, God, we tried to hire a freestyler for something. It was going to cost $2,000. And I was like, fucking £2,000, because you basically decided to do more keep-ups in your garden than I could be asked to do. I thought, well, there's something to that. But I put the time in on Pro Evo, like, in my youth. These things didn't exist. Around Pro Evo 2 to Pro Evo 4, there were no European regional finals. There were no world finals where these guys are getting jetted off across the world and being given fat sums of cash. There was no... Well, there might have been a world tournament for FIFA 99, but I swear to God, I'd have won it if I'd known. So it annoys me, because we're in that crossover generation where we've got all the things that everyone nowadays... We grew up with all the things that everyone's got now intrinsically. So we had PlayStation. We had the PlayStation 1. And we had, you know, all the games. People are saying... My lad is playing the new Mario game. Well, I had the first Mario game. You know, my dad never had Mario games. So our kids are growing up in a world where they've got the same things as us, except they're all just bigger and better, and there's money that can be made out of them. And that does my head in, because I was fucking unbeatable on Pro Evo 4. And I'm now looking at it like, I haven't got the time. I'd love to be able to have that. Like, and even if I wanted to, I'd have to sever ties with my family, my friends. I'd have to give up my job. And it upsets me that I am too old to be a professional e-sporter.
Are you purging yourself?
I am purging myself, by the sound of it, yeah. I am purging... I'm purging being in mid-30s when I'd be much better right now being in my mid-20s.
Okay.
I'd be a much better 26-year-old now than I am a 30. I'm a decent 36-year-old, to be fair, but I'd be a much better 26-year-old. I'd be fucking... King Dingaling on YouTube and Twitch, and probably a professional e-sporter. As it is, I am not. I'm a bang average YouTuber and a below average e-sporter.
So, I mean, you're not an e-sporter. Let's just get that straight first and foremost. I don't think you've ever had the skill set to become an e-sporter, if I'm perfectly honest. No, I genuinely don't think I have. Just because you could beat me, Steve Pye, and Rich Downey at Pro Evo 4, right, doesn't mean you could take that to the world stage. You were playing against a few stoners in a bedroom. That's you know what point, I mean? Yeah. I mean, delusions of grandeur here. Yeah. Let's just focus in on what you're actually saying. No. Not a chance, mate. I'm sorry, not a chance. You were better than us. I'll accept that. You always have been at Pro Evo and stuff, but no way were you elite level.
But I never got to test myself. So we'll never truly know. Go on, what's done your head in this week?
Frederick Barbarossa.
What?
I've been playing a lot of Civ 6 this weekend, and Frederick Barbarossa is like, he's the Holy Roman Emperor of Germany or something like that, right? And he's really good at dominating victories. So he gets fucking a vast army, and I basically spent like 500 turns just placating him and just sort of keeping him to one side. I had a little war with him and I took Dortmund off him. That was a bad mistake, really. And then we lost the game to a cultural victory to somebody else. And I thought, I'll play on anyway, regardless. I've nearly got a nuke. And when I get this nuke, these 500 turns I've been fucking being your friend for, trying to stop you from beating me up, I'm going to fucking nuke you, you bastard. So I'm there, and I've just finished watching the Grand Prix on Sunday night, and I watched it, I think I started at 10 o'clock, so it was about 11:30 it finished, and I'm about 20 turns away from getting a thermonuclear weapon and a nuclear weapon in two of my cities, so I'm there, and at this point in the game, turns take a long time, easy 5 minutes a turn, so I've got about 20 to go. I get two away from this fucking nuclear weapon. I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm not doing anything on my turns. I'm just going straight through. And he fucking nuked me with two turns to go. My city that was building the nuke contaminated the whole fucking region, lost me nuclear weapon, all kinds of shit. At this point, it's like fucking 12:30 or something. I'm fucking raging, ready for a fight. I'm fronting anything in my living room at this point. Like, my cats are coming in. I want them dead. And I'm like, well, I've still got my thermonuclear device getting built over there, but it's about 30 turns away because the city's not as big. And to go in, get a military engineer, do this city up, decontaminate that, get me fucking nuke. Got two of them fucking lines up. I've never seen his capital city. I nuked the shit with a thermonuclear device, and then I nuked another one that was close to me, and then I was like, it was so satisfying seeing him atomic bomb go off, like really satisfying, to the point where
you ejaculated.
It wasn't that satisfying.
Okay,
it wasn't far away.
Okay, cool.
But then I was like,
tantric.
Because I'd not seen his city centre get nuked, I needed to see the devastation because I've never seen it. So it was all shrouded. So I was like, well, I've got this guy who's a passive fucking military guy. No one's going to attack him. So I just drove him into the contamination zone, and I know he was going to die. And I'm sorry, he took one for the team, but I did get to see the devastation that it caused. And then I went to bed and couldn't sleep, dreaming of Frederick Barbosa and victories over him. And I just know that he hates me as well. And I hope he hates me as much as I hate him. And the other thing, Paul, that's really pissed me off this week, right, is my new trainers, mate.
Okay, so the new trainers were ordered. They came, you've not tried them on, they came via the internet.
Right, but listen. Oh no, it's not going to work, right? I'm going to have to put them on.
Do they squeak?
Don't squeak, Paul. They're worse than that. Sound like I'm blowing a fucking bike tire up every time I walk anywhere, which is just fucking ridiculous.
You sound like you're training, sound asthmatic.
So they can get in the fucking bin. You know what I mean?
How much did they set you back?
£72.97. Reduced from 105. I know why.
Why on God's air? Maybe they've got a leak because they're nice air, aren't they?
Raging air, Paul.
Did you bring them in literally to show that?
I'm not taking them to Barcelona with me.
Oh my God.
Imagine what the fucking Spaniards would think of me. Who's this guy?
You've not had much luck with trainees.
I hope you could hear that.
It sounded like two cats farting.
I'm
in tandem.
Raging here now.
Oh my God, that was brilliant. Right, okay, let's dive into it then. Right, we've been doing the Game of Thrones chat for the first couple of weeks. Let's get it out the way. We'll timestamp, so if you don't want any Game of Thrones spoilers, you can skip ahead. I've seen loads of people go into bat defending this episode. It was fine. It was not what it, for me. It was not. They chose to have that be filmed at night because it saves loads and loads of money. And because it was the most infuriating thing that I've watched on telly. For that first half an hour of that episode was basically unwatchable. And then periodically, where it's like, and now we're going to go over to some indistinct person on what appears to be a dragon in some part of the sky somewhere for a bit. And what someone on that indistinct dragon is going to crash into another person who's indistinct and perhaps on a dragon. I don't know who it is. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where these people are. The ending was fantastic.
Mate, the entire show was brilliant. The problem is, as you've said there, I got a little bit too intimate with the contrast button on my remote. I spent the first 45 minutes giving a little bit up and a little bit down, trying to get the perfect contrast and brightness. And it was fucking stupid. That's not what you want. I don't want my remote anywhere near me, Holland, yeah, when I'm watching the Game of Thrones. Mm. But the episode was fucking superb. There was no temptation to flick over. But I didn't know where the contrast button was before that. And now I know it intimately. It's like I've had fucking sex with it for 30 minutes, in a bit, out a bit, bit harder, a bit softer.
And that was just you.
It was me.
To be fair, like, boss, my issue was, and we were asked to talk about Endgame. Chris has not seen Avengers Endgame, so we can't do it because I can't conscientiously do any chat or spoilers around it. But having watched, I went to watch Endgame, and then having watched that, this felt like what it was a very expensive, but TV. And but the thing that it saved for me, because we were talking about the level of disappointments that this series is ultimately going to bring us down the line, was I it's given me hope that we now live in a world where we've got amazing writers and amazing producers and amazing this and that, and we might yet have a very, very satisfactory ending to it. Like, because I realised halfway through there were so many chances where they could have killed loads and loads of people off, and maybe this is just them setting us up for that ultimate disappointment that we predicted 2 weeks ago. I think there's going to be, I don't think everyone we know and love is going necessarily
to die. I think there's still
a
page, to be honest. I think there is, and I think there has to be, and the only thing that makes me question that is George R. R. Martin hasn't written it. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way these guys survive. Because if George R. R. Martin writes it, they're dead.
Fucking
dead
there. Yeah.
Although I did think to myself, and I said this to Kat during the show, I was like, you know what? What if this is the ending of the entire show and they've just blagged us? Because here's the thing, it reminded me of Blue Coat on your last day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you know your last day is Friday, they're not going to let you go on Friday because all the fucking messing around starts happening. So you know if you get to Thursday, that's your last day and you're going to get put out. So I was thinking, what if everyone just dies this episode?
Yeah,
then they go, yeah, there isn't three more episodes, yeah, lads.
You turn up on Wednesday and they're going, right, you're done. Because you're too clever, you're going to figure out to ruin everything. So yeah, that's it, game over. Imagine that.
I genuinely thought, I wonder if there's not three episodes left and this is it. This is the end of the whole show. Wouldn't that be great?
Like, people tune in next week and it's just credits.
Fucking brilliant. I'm like, that's the way to end a TV show, because you fucking just surprise the hell out of everybody. Mm. And if I was in charge of it, I'd kill them all, and that's what I'd do.
Absolutely.
Which would be fantastic. But
I did enjoy the Saturday. It gave the satisfaction payoff. The Arya Stark thing was really good. Like,
haven't they?
What it's done, in fairness, in this build-up, is because it's created a world where no one's safe. You're on edge. Like, I think of, and this is all an evolution of the way television's gone. Like, if you go back and remember when 24 came out, and the first series of 24 was the best thing on television, yeah, at the time. Yeah. And
proper dated now.
But if you watch it now, it's very slow. It's very sedate. It's not, you feel like that watching it though. But that's because that was the first. It's like if you go back and watch the Naked Gun movies or Airplane. Spoof films got blown up and got a very much of their time, so they feel very dated. Whereas, because it was the first, if you know it was the first, it was the problem with 24 ultimately became was that you knew Jack Bauer, you know, you could put him through the ringer, but he'd be fine. Like, oh, he's dead, is he? He's not dead, is he, though? You know what I mean? He'll be fine, I'm sure of it. Spoilers for the, you know, 10-year-old game of 24, by the way. Unlucky. This has created this world now where no one's safe, which means that you can have genuine drama. And you can have genuine tension as much as you think, oh, I think they'll survive because ... It is a world where storylines have been cut off. You have just had people just get brutally murdered.
I remember halfway through the show when Arya was getting chased by the Walking Dead people. It was an episode of Walking Dead for like 10 minutes. Yeah. And then I was like, she's going to die here. And then 15 minutes before the end, I said, Arya's going to kill the fucking Night King.
Okay.
So I called that one and I was made up.
Yeah. Which means you win.
Obviously, I win the world, all of it, and Home and Bargain. I've lost my train of thought,
yeah,
obviously.
You predicted that.
I predicted that, and I was made up with myself, but equally, did I really? Because, you know, 30 minutes earlier, I predicted her to die.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know,
yeah,
I'm hedging my bet here. I've gone each way on Arya Stark.
Yeah, you cashed out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So I don't feel too great about it. But then it was that line, wasn't it, when Melisandre... Is that how you say it? The red woman or whatever it is, turns around and says the green eyes, brown eyes, and blue.
Yeah.
And as soon as she said blue, I was like, well, she hasn't killed a white yet. She hasn't killed a White Walker, and they've got the blue eyes. So she's got to do fucking something there, like, you know what I mean?
So the point in the episode at which you get told that she's going to do it
is the point when I realised and called
incredible. We called the crypt, didn't we? We called the crypt.
To a fucking T.
Yeah.
To a T. They're all going to wake up and kill them.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't kill enough of them.
No.
But that's damn women and babies.
I think that's what they'll do, I think, ultimately. Because that's the only way to really have people, to cement a legacy of a series. And that's why you're right. If it was George Martin, then I think you're right. I think he would just do whatever the fuck he wants. But because they're doing it themselves, I think they'll leave it to a satisfactory ending, because if you do that, you think about the DVD box set sales, you think about your Amazon sales, Paul, and blah 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 blah.
It's really simple for me. You can't do a spin-off with none of the main characters.
It's true.
And HBO will want some kind of a spin-off.
The spin-off's a prequel.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's already in production already. But yeah, that's the thing. But yeah, I think they'll do it just so you've got, because you need that. I mean, we've gone through cinematically. We've gone through this shift, and the Coen brothers are largely responsible for this. And I love the Coen brothers, but I've fucking gone off them massively. Like No Country for Old Men and Burn After Reading. It's like changing people's expectations.
Did you see the last one?
No. Ball of the Buster's Rugged. I'll get to it.
Like, oh my goodness! Don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
But the point is they started doing this thing where they started, like, changing narrative conventions, so the hero doesn't win out, or this guy wasn't the hero, and it's like, it's great that you've done that, and I don't mind cinema that pushes the boundaries and all that, but you need stuff, the human brain needs things to be rounded off. And I get it if you're rubbish at what you do and you don't understand how stories tie in. I like George Lucas, for example, like, he basically ruined Star Wars. That's fine, because that's him being fucking stupid and not have anyone to challenge him. But when people are very intelligent and excellent filmmakers do it, that does my head in. So I like the fact that we seem to be coming back round now to... So I exist in possibility, if nothing less. Speaking of films that are going to be ruined by people and stupidity and what have you, there's a leaked picture of Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik.
This was scintillating, to be honest. I mean, it's only a still image, and if a still image can be scintillating, it was. And it's the problem I've got with this is that it's only going to go one of two ways, Paul. It's going to be Jim Carrey is absolute late 90s finest, or it's going to be a raging yawn. And dead shit.
Yeah, it
and a raging yawn in and of itself is quite a strange thing to say, I suppose.
Raging yawn.
But it's going to be fucking terrible. It's going to be terrible, or it's going to be amazing.
I think it's going to be... I mean, it's definitely going to be terrible. I mean, who knows? It's impossible to judge how good something is by the reaction online, because we had the leak image of Sonic come out, and just no, what is that? It's a freak of... I mean, I suppose a talking blue hedgehog is a freak of nature anyway, but that's unsettling. That's, like, really upsetting to look at. So, I think this film's going to be fucking dreadful, but we live in hope, don't we?
Couldn't we have just had Danny DeVito as Robotnik, please, or something like that, you know what I mean? Just someone that looks a little bit more like him.
Yeah.
But then when you really analyse the photograph of Jim Carrey, he's got that, like... I don't know what the right
smirk.
Word. Like, yeah, it's like a real cool little Robotnik type smile. Smirk.
Yeah. So. And he's got what looks like a moustache and some goggles. So he's basically exactly Robotnik, isn't he? Or Eggman, depending on whether you're into that whole thing. Team of the Year. You wanted to discuss Team of the Year?
Yeah, I asked a question in the office yesterday. Has the winner of the Golden Boot ever not been in the Team of the Year? Because it's quite likely to happen, maybe.
Did we have an answer to that?
No one had the answer, but that's why I'm asking you.
All right. You had an office of people that you could have set to the.
I mean, I spoke to Tom only, and Tom's not interested in finding shit out.
I don't care what Tom isn't interested in. He literally is under our employ. If we want to answer this question,
I'm asking you.
Well, I'm not under your employ. I don't care.
Do you know?
I don't know. I've honestly no idea. It's weird that he's not in it. I mean, I get it. I did a video on this in the week, and I think the Pogba one's is the standout one, but you're right. The logic for Pogba being in there is he's like the top goal scoring midfielder in the league or something like that. And if that's the logic for him being in there, then Mohamed Salah should be in the team.
I've spoken to said, well, you know, Sterling can play on the right, and I was like, yeah, but he plays on the left, and Mo Salah plays on the right. And if you're building a team I'd rather have Salah on the right than Sterling on the right because Salah scores more goals.
Would you rather have Mane in than Sterling?
Oh, that's the question, isn't it, to be honest with you? Yeah. And you know, the, I think both Mane, or all three of Mane, Sterling and Salah deserve to be in the side.
Yeah.
So do you lose Aguero, who's also been outstanding?
Who also deserves to be in
the... also deserves to be in the side.
I think the thing you've got with this, where I made my piece on it, is that it's not a functioning side. It's not meant to be a functioning side.
Well,
it's
then,
just done on,
then drop Pogba and put Salah in.
Well, yeah, it's like... But yeah, you know what I mean, is they clearly decide the formation.
Sterling can play the 10.
Yeah, yeah. They clearly decide the formation and then they go... They don't think about, like... They don't think... It's just done on votes, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's not done on... It's done on player votes, so it's just they add up the numbers and there you go. So the players are idiots, is basically what you're trying
Which
to
do. Which is something we already know, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't get annoyed.
If this was like a fella in a room going, here's my team of the year, then you could go, well, you fucking stupid fella in his room. Whereas they've polled all the professional footballers and they've voted.
What's worse actually is the Football Writers one. You know, did you see who got votes for that? Lacazette got votes. I'm sorry, right? Right, I'm sorry. But in what world are you writing for a proper fucking newspaper and thinking Lacazette was your player of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Really? Lacazette, really?
I wonder if... Did anyone vote for...
John Cross, by chance? Anyone? Maybe. No, the Arsenal guys?
But on that logic, did anyone vote for Firmino? Do we know that? Because, like, that's one of them. If Arsenal's your main focus, that Lacazette's like... They love Lacazette a bit. Don't get me wrong, again, it's...
Nowhere near team of the year. Yeah. Nowhere near but you player go, of the you, year. No. Nowhere fucking near. No. Not even top 10.
No. No. I completely agree. But you, I can understand the logic why people would, because if you focus on that, you're going to vote for the team, for a player in the team that you've seen the most. I could, like,
you should just vote for the player that you think's had the best season.
But that leads to you vote for people because you feel they should when you might.
Well,
not
then if you're
them.
Voting for a team of the year at this point, am I just voting for every Liverpool player? Because I've seen them the most.
Well, you don't get to vote for every player, do you?
Well, no, but if that's what I'm saying. If I was voting for a team of the year, by your logic, I'd vote for every player of Liverpool because I've seen them the most. You've got to look outside it. To be honest, with the team of the year, the one where the players vote, I actually thought other than the Pogba one, it was really good. Mm. You know, the Salah one's close. You know, I just find it interesting that he may win Golden Boot, he may win the Premier League, his goals might fire us to a Champions League and Premier League double, and yet he's still not in the team
of
the
year.
Whereas I look around the rest of the side and I think, I'm not really, the only thing that I really disagree with is the Pogba one.
Yeah.
The others I can go, yeah, you know what, I can understand that. And I actually think, to be fair, team of the year is spot on other than Pogba and maybe the inclusion of Salah.
Yeah. Maybe Lucas Digne.
No. Why? Because he hits more crosses than anyone else. He hasn't got as many as assists. So his crossing percentage is shite compared to Robertson. Go away.
So that you attempted to add to the page this week, our good mate Liam
Vizzy,
made loads of Liverpool fans change their avatars to Ashley Barnes, which led to you being very confused and infuriated.
There was just loads of people with the same profile pic talking to me at the same time on the same thread on Twitter. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Who are you? Why do I need to now zoom in and try and look at your fucking name to find out who you are? Stop putting pictures of fucking Ashley Barnes in me fucking grid. It's doing me fucking head. It's ridiculous.
What were you zooming in?
So I can see what the fucking little letters are. The at.
I like the idea that you were stuck in some sort of Twitter equivalent of that Neo versus Mr. Smith fight from one of the shit Matrix films, and it was just nothing but Ashley Barnes.
It's fucking everywhere.
spinning round in your room, holding your phone at arm's length, trying to knock away Ashley
and
Barnes.
And just while we're on it, like, the fucking half and half badges that I've seen, the profile pics of players from other sides, just go away. What's wrong with just going away, please, all of you?
I am, to be fair, like, these are one of those things, right, where when you see anything in life where you see loads of something and you weigh in on it,
I just thought it was shit, as in into it
or whatever. Anything can do your head in. It's why people hate Game of Thrones, because everyone's talking about Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones is shit. It's like, have you ever watched Game of Thrones? No. Why do you hate it? Because everyone's talking about it and I'm not in on it, is basically the fucking thing. I don't mind. A part of me is a bit like, this is a bit weird and a bit telling. And it is a bit modern footy, isn't it? But at the same time, it's like I see it like the it's coming home thing. there's a group of people, there's some people who genuinely thought that people saying it's coming home was like a serious call to arms, whereas it became like a, it was just a throwaway, like it was a gag, wasn't it? Like, you read it was like, oh, it's coming home. It became like a, it became a meme, and like people will move on now, and everyone's gonna have Brendan Rodgers as their AVI now, or Jamie Vardy or whatever. Fine, I think it's funny.
But again, you know, I know how big a game it was when Man United played Man City and all that type of stuff, but the build up to it on Liverpool Twitter was doing my nutting.
Yeah,
it was just like, from about 6:30 when it got up, it was just constant tweets about it all day. And I'm like, listen, I get it. I'm as invested as anybody else in all of this stuff. Like, but do we really have to, do you really need to tweet 20 times about it before the game's kicking off? You know what I mean? It's just like, watch the game. Maybe put a tweet out on the, you know, on the whistleblow, you know what I mean? It just, it was all encompassing, and it was just like, you're just boring me at this point.
How many times did you check Twitter during that though?
Thousands. It's so fucking draining though, isn't it? It's just like, you're dragging this 90 minute game of football out over fucking 36
you know what I le- you know what I learned in the build up to Avengers Endgame? I muted keywords on Twitter.
Does it work?
Yeah, spot on. Didn't see any spoilers because I knew that was happening. I realised that's the future. That's the future for Twitter. It's not muting individual accounts. It is that. But also the stuff that you just don't want to hear about.
That's really clever.
You just mute the words and then it doesn't come up in your timeline.
But then I'll never see your tweets.
You're blocked anyway. BT Sport, you drew my attention to this. BT Sport put a Champions League semi-final graphic out. Jeez. Fucking idiots. These people, right, we are the independent media, right, and we get lambasted left, right and centre for making mistakes and doing stupid things and blah, blah, blah.
It's not us, it's Tom's spelling errors.
Yeah, there's that, like, and Ross's does it all the time as well in his tweets. But this is BT Sport. All they had to do was basically have a picture of a player from each of the four teams. And what did they do, Chris?
Sterling.
They put a picture of Raheem Sterling in.
And their fucking Champions League semi-final preview graphic. Really? I mean, someone's worked on that.
Yeah.
Probably a Liverpool fan, to be fair.
Somebody. I was saying it's clearly, I wonder if it's someone who left the Etihad early. Oh yeah, they got the goal, Raheem Sterling, superstar hero of Manchester City. Let's brilliant. Get them graphics painted up. Get it ready, brilliant. Get it sent. It's taking them that long to paint it. They've been locked in a room for 2 weeks and it's like, they've just admitted, there you go, handed it in, uploaded it, and just gone, whoa, what happened? City got knocked out. They never. No, Sterling, he scored a goal. He scored a goal and he was celebrating. And then I ran into my studio to start painting a picture for the semi-finals. And no, VAR, mate. Fucking devastating. BT Sport, hang your heads in shames. Right, okay, we'll move on. Discussion time. We've had people sending comments in. If there's stuff you want us to discuss about personal lives and things from the past, by all means do let us know in the comments section or tweet at the Paul Machen or at Mr. Blood Red on Twitter as well. That would be wonderful. I've got one. I didn't write down who it came from, but I thought it was an interesting topic nevertheless, Chris, because Pajak is a very fairly unusual surname.
Especially when paired with Chris, it turns out.
Yeah. That was a very, very injured. What was the... Were you skitting the other day for having a weird...
I don't know.
Chris was sat there saying, such and such, and he's got a very normal name and a very weird surname. He was like, yes, that's a very interesting point there, Chris Pajak. But yeah, we've hinted at it in a few different places and what have you. Your family's Polish.
Half my family is Polish, yeah.
Yeah, so your dad's side, the dad's side of your family. And I thought it was an interesting discussion because I know some of these bits and pieces and what have you going up, but it's stuff that you don't really think about because I think of your dad. I would never have thought of your dad as being anything other than, like, Scouse, and yet your dad's not even Scouse. You didn't even grow up in Liverpool. Your mum's the Scouse bird. Which is boss. There's a story about your mum being a wag, which we'll come to in due course.
I could have been Zach Whitbread.
Zach Whitbread, yeah. But let's do this now. It's a good story. So Liverpool fans will may be aware of a football player called Zach Whitbread. And what is your connection to Zach Whitbread?
My mum was married to his dad. And Barry Whitbread was just a long-time scout at Liverpool Football Club. And Zach obviously played for Liverpool. So they split up before, obviously, I was born. Hopefully. And they did. Yeah. So I could have been Zach Whitbread.
You could have been Zach Whitbread. You could have been a Liverpool reserve centre half. Had the blonde hair.
He was ginger, wasn't he?
No, he was very blonde.
I thought he was ginger for some reason.
Some people think that on YouTube.
It's true, actually.
So anyway, your mum, your dad, as you say, is of Polish descent. But I thought it was really interesting because we're not so far removed from this world where you trace your family tree back, and it goes right smack dab back to World War II.
Yeah. So my dad was actually born in England. So, but by two Polish parents. So if you go back to World War II, my dziadek, which is the Polish for granddad, he was an officer in a cavalry unit going against fucking tanks in Germany.
So we've all heard that, like, anyone remembers the wars when the Polish got absolutely decimated because Blitzkrieg, because the Germans turned up with tanks and the Poles fought them on horses.
And well, my granddad was one of them. And then he was a prisoner of war in, I think it was a camp called something like Olaf 7 or something like that. It was a German officer's prisoner of war camp. So he was there for about 6 years. At the time, my nan, and my dad's eldest brother and eldest sister, who were both born in Poland, were in Vilnius, and then they moved to the USSR when Poland got taken over and all that shit, and then they were like hiding in the USSR, and then my granddad got out of a prisoner of war camp and got moved to Polish resettlement corps over in England once they freed all the camps and stuff like that. So I think he was inside for about 6, 7, 8 years. Then, because of his military ties, he managed to find where his wife and kids were, and they walked from, I think they went to the USSR, went back to Krakow, where they were originally from. They actually had a lot of land in Krakow. My nan's side of the family were really, really wealthy, but they had it all taken off them by the Germans and stuff, and they never got that back. So they ended up walking from Krakow through to France and then getting a boat over to England. So she was on her own with two kids, probably about 13 and 10, something like that, walked from Poland all the way over to England, got the boat obviously to England, and then they met up again. I believe it was something like 12 or 13 years from when he last saw his wife and blah blah blah. And then
so he'd have basically, when he in terms of what your auntie and uncle would have been, they'd have been tiny
babies, babies. So he'd not seen them until they were probably 13 and 10. Yeah, I think it was maybe, I can't remember if it was 8 or 12 years apart, like, but yeah, so it was a long time he hadn't seen his kids and his wife for. We've actually got somewhere the video footage of them first meeting again. Someone at the Polish resettlement camp had one of the world's first, like, fucking camcorders. So we've actually got that somewhere, but I don't know where that is at the moment. And then there's, like, my dad was born near Durston, down south. And then they moved to another Polish resettlement camp. It's like a resettlement camp is just where they just shove all the immigrants, basically. And so all the Polish people were just shoved into these resettlement camps and just lived there and just tried to make their own way. Lots of manual labour jobs and all that type of stuff. And then Wheaton Ashton was where my Uncle Georgie was born. And him and my dad were like the closest of together. And then obviously Uncle Zbigniew and Elush, my auntie, were a few years older than them and stuff. So he was born in England, and then he had all kinds of jobs, my dad, you know. He was like down in London working in car sales and petrol station manager and all types of shit, like. And then that was after he left Stafford, where the family home was sort of built and stuff like that. Big Polish community, and comes up to Liverpool, like, and he's been in garages.
I always think it's fascinating because your family is huge, like, genuinely, which is mad because is it the Polish side that's the one that's the most, there's lots of, there's like cousins. Every time there's a party, there's another 12 cousins that I've never met before that come around and what have you. But they're all spread out. Is it around Oxford?
It used to be. There's no one in Oxford anymore. But my oldest uncle, Zbigniew, he sort of landed in Oxford, and he had mad, like, computer jobs in the 80s and stuff before computers were a thing. Did really well for himself. And so, yeah, they set up camp there, and he had five kids. My dad was obviously one of four, His first cousins had there was five kids as well, so that's why the family's so big, loads of fours and fives basically. But it was just boys for years and years and years, and I think the first girl was born maybe 20 years ago, after, you know, from the 50s onwards to probably late 90s was 40 years of boys.
You've actually got a
my uncle had a theory on this.
Theory on this,
yeah, so apparently it's something to do with, like, when a family is in distress and, you know, during wartime and all that type of stuff and this resettlement and stuff, it almost like wants to continue the line. Mm-hmm. So it's just boys, 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 essentially seeding everywhere, you know what I mean, so that the family line doesn't go out. And then since then it's just been, well, me, I've got two girls. Ashley's got a girl.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ed's got a girl. Mark's got a girl. So there's just been loads and loads of girls off the back, and they reckon once it settles down, the girls start
so like
around.
Generationally, like genetically, your family line's just gone.
Yeah, which is crazy. And listen, I'm not normally big into all these types of things, but having seen it with my own family, I do think that there's something to it. Like, and listen, I'm probably wrong, and there'll be people in the comments going, yeah, "You're a dickhead."
That's your geneticist. Like, yeah. Imagine that was the NBA. Just put your family under distress if you want a boy, and if you want girls, just relax a bit. But it's mad because you got to go from your family base, that, you know, the origins of your family coming in as immigrants, basically, to. Because you've all had, you've hinted at these bits and pieces, like some of your uncles have done, like, did really, really well for themselves as well, wasn't he? Because you had an uncle who was living in London, I think, who was like mega successful, like, which is mad when you consider,
yeah, what, you know, they've done and stuff. And I think they came at a time when it was quite easy for them because they were young enough to be able to take to the language and stuff, whereas my jadak, my granddad, and Babka, they struggled massively because they were too old to learn the language and stuff like that, really. Although my granddad, apparently his written word was better than most English people, but talking he really struggled with and stuff. So apart from my dad, they all did really, really well. Like, my dad was just like, he just enjoyed cars. He just enjoyed working with cars and stuff like that. So, do you remember the old Polish church in town?
Yeah.
You know, the bar?
Yeah.
Which is called?
Alma de Cuba.
Alma de Cuba. I was christened in there. So I've never actually had a drink in Alma de Cuba because that was the old Polish church. We used to go there on a Sunday, and the church was in fucking Latin. It was bizarre. Like, you didn't understand the fucking word of it, you know what I mean? But so I've never, like, that's where I was christened, and my dad's garage was just over the way, literally on the same road, just opposite it and stuff like that. So I couldn't have a drink in there because the altar's still there where I was christened on. That's where we used to go on a Sunday morning. I'm not a religious person, but I'm also not going to just be like, fuck off, you know what I mean, at the same time. Like, so I think there's a level of respect that you have to show these types of things and stuff. But yeah, they've done really well for themselves, and, you know, my cousins are doing incredibly well for themselves as well. But what annoys me is that people think, oh, shut up, you're Polish or something like that. Well, I've got Polish blood, but I was born in Liverpool.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I might have a name that doesn't sound like it, but for me, I am Scouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my mum's family have never left Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They go back years and years and years, all in the same place.
What's your mum's maiden name?
Smith. I mean, you couldn't get more English, really, could you? Like, you know what I mean? It's crazy, isn't it? But, yeah, so, you know, it is one of those things, but... I love the heritage of our family and stuff. I'm dead proud of it. I have a family ring. I don't wear it in work and stuff like, but, you know, I wear it with pride. You know, it's a blind rook with a ring in its mouth. It's a family signet. We've got a ruby one that's actually passed down through the family that goes to the elder brother. And then when we're 21, lots of us ask for a copy of this ring. So I've got like a two-tone stone ring, and, you know, I love wearing that. And I feel a massive part of my family and stuff. And that's always great because it's mad because... You know, considering there's been so much distance between my cousins, my mum and dad, and my dad in particular, was very good at keeping close to his family and stuff. And I think anybody who's from a big family who are close with them will recognise that it's a really good grounding in life.
It's interesting because you very much share that trait of, like, being the one who pulls the things together. Even on, like, a lighter scale, we always joke about how, like, in our group of friends... You are the linchpin of all those things. You're the one who is the one who keeps in touch with everyone and does that thing. It's mad that, you know, the trait that you clearly get from your dad.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think, you know, you are shaped by the people that shape you, aren't you, ultimately? And, you know, you're very much shaped by your dad and share a lot of interests and stuff like that. I share a lot of interests with my dad and stuff. And, you know, I think, you know, most people out there who've got a relationship with someone as close as the family will be shaped by them. You know, it's one of those things. But yeah, we definitely wouldn't hang out if it wasn't for me fucking making sure that we all got to spend some time together. Like.
Absolutely. But we've got some questions. One I thought was really interesting. Ian Johnston said that Chris has to talk about his time in Subway.
How you say it, Ian? I always thought it was Owen.
It might be Owen.
We're not making each other look like pricks. We're making ourselves look like pricks.
Ian Owen, whatever. E-O-I-N, Johnston. Talk about your time at Subway. So you were, this was like mid-noughties.
It all blends in. I've got no idea. I'd left the Britannia at this point and I went to...
You went to the other pub?
No, I didn't. I went to Over the Water and worked in the supermarkets, didn't I?
No, I'm pretty sure you went from Britannia to the pub. What's it called? Don Bayachis. The one that you got sacked from.
No.
Anyway, you ended up at Subway. It was around 2007, as I recall, because you were there when we played in the Champions League final against Milan. And there's a story about that, which we're definitely
not allowed to say that story yet.
You got this job in Subway anyway, and you started off, I think you started off at top of Lord Street.
Ranelagh Street, top of Lord Street, yeah.
Yeah, and...
That was horrendous. So it was like a fucking 24-hour Subway, basically. It was just ridiculous. Really eye-opening to me, because I don't think I'd even eaten Subway when I started working there, like... And you're there until like 4 a.m. and there's people coming in and they're just blitzed out of their heads. And they're like, can I get a foot long with everything? I was like, mate, everything. Everything, mate, everything. I was like, everything, mate, everything. I was like, tuna mayo and meatballs and veggie patties and ham. Everything, mate, everything. Sounds all right. It's going to cost you about £25, that bud. All right. Yeah. Make the fucking butty, can't fold the fucking butty, give the man the fucking butty, watch the man drop the butty on the floor and then complain about it. Like, this is a regular thing that happens at Subway at 4 a.m. Like, he's like, what are you doing?
It's an absolute eye-opener.
Like, £27?
Me and my missus were in London the other week, and after being out, we stopped in a Mackey's for a milkshake on the walk back to the hotel, and I'd forgotten because I just don't go to town of a night anymore. That culture, when you're in it, you don't notice it, but when you come into it, with fresh eyes, or sober eyes, more importantly, the amount of lunatics that absolutely exist in that world. The best one for me was that you moved to the one on Hardman Street,
which is still,
I think that's still there, isn't it? And you showed me, this was a time, again, this goes back to my, I think I must have been working in the bar that I mentioned last week or around that time. And you showed there's a secret hatch underneath it. So you had to change the post mix and the switches, the switch box and all that kind of stuff, you had to lift the floor up.
No, the postmix was in the back. I think the postmix leaked
through the floor down to there, right, yeah. So you had to go lift the floor hatch up and you could go underneath the floor.
Scary as fuck.
Because that subway, and the people of our generation remember, there was a bar called Bar 111 on that road, and effectively Subway was built into it. So the toilets and the downstairs floor of that bar still exist, but they're only accessible
through the floor
panel of Subway. But there was a door and it basically, like, with a padlock, and you were like, I've never been through it before, should we go in?
It was so scary though. We were like on tiptoes, like pre-Walking Dead zombie apocalypse scary, like, but it, you know what I mean?
So we open this door and there's a sign, and there's the old posters, you know, the clip frame posters, and someone had written "you will die" on this poster. So it's like, this is like 11.
Did we run off then?
No, we managed to fucking get, and it looked like there was like blood on the floor and everything. That turned out it was the post mix was dripping through onto the floor and created this sticky, like dark red kind of puddle on the floor. So we got and I had the camera, and the footage of this exists somewhere. It's probably on me MySpace or something like. But it's we went through, and it's like all the old bogs, and we're terrified, and we got to the point where we were like, let's go back. We shit ourselves, and we went back upstairs. We climbed out through this hole in the wall, got back upstairs, got back in there, and then what did we realise?
I've no idea.
We'd not locked the door to the subway, so the whole fucking place was open while we were downstairs titting about in the. That could have been our tomb, Chris.
It could have been. Just shut the hatch and we'd be dead.
It was, tell us a story about the needles.
Oh my God, that was the same subway. So in Hardman Street, so people used to come in and shoot up in the fucking toilet in Subway at midday. You know what I mean? When your line's at the busiest, so you can't fucking spot them. They're very clever, these wreckheads. Like, and you'd be there and you'd be like, and then you go in there and there'd just be a needle on the floor and you're like, what on earth? You know what I mean? We used to have to pay, I think it was something like 80 quid, I think, for one of these kits where you'd have to go up and pick these needles up and there'd be blood on it and there'd be little bits of splatters of blood all over the floor and stuff. And you used to have to phone the council up and say to them, like, listen, I've got a needle here. Someone's shot up in Subway. And they're like, oh no, it wasn't, right, it was 80 quid for them to come and collect the needles, that's what the 80 quid was. And they'd be like, yeah, it cost you 80 quid. And I was like, after about the fourth time, I remember them up, and I'm like, you know, why is this costing me so much money to fucking come and get needles picked up? And he's like, well, you know, he's got to come and get it safely from a building. I was like, what if I told you that there's a needle on the floor outside of Subway? Is it on the floor in the pavement? Yeah, it's free. Right, there's a needle on the floor in the pavement, mate. Now, I never did that, but, you know, it's ridiculous.
You'd have had to pick a potentially AIDS-y needle up in order to do it.
Which we used to have to do, I would say, on at least every 2 days, we were getting rid of needles and stuff from fucking toilets and stuff. I mean, it was disgusting, and it makes you feel sick every time you had to do it and stuff. And the fact that the council would charge you 80 quid to come and claim this stuff was absolutely ridiculous. Like, Subway's a mad place. Like, some weird shit happens. It's the only place in the world that if you're going out on a night out as a mute, that's where you go to get a scran.
Because you can point at all the things you want.
But you're fucked everywhere else.
You can in your cards. It's the fact that people obviously know what they're pointing at, but don't realise that perception. You can't see what they're pointing at, because effectively they're pointing in a fucking in a generalised area of where the food is contained.
Yeah, but it still works. It still works. There's loads of random stuff. Like, we used to have to tell people our name when you're in the front of the sandwich line. So I would change. Funny, same shit as last week. I'd change my name for every single person, and I'd go up one letter in the alphabet every time. So I'd literally big fucking queue of 50 people and go, hi, I'm Andrew, welcome to Subway, what bread would you like, or whatever it is, and then they'd move half a step, and then I'd go, hi, I'm Ben, welcome to Subway, and they'd move half a step, and then the next guy would look at me, he's like, dude, somebody was Andrew, and I'd be, hi, I'm Chris, welcome to Subway, what bread do you want, and I'd just do that over and over and over again, what just to keep
what,
myself
what
safe.
What was your why name?
Oh, probably Eves or something like that, you know what I mean?
Probably Eves.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. I've never thought about it.
Probably Eves. I love it.
Is Eves on the runner bloke?
Yeah.
There you go, then.
Probably Eves.
What would you pick?
Fucking no idea. Yeah, that's why I asked us. I'm like, fucking, why are you gonna pick? What are you gonna do? Like that. Didn't miss a beat. Eve. Brilliant. Yeah. How do people ask for something? I think it's definitely a Liverpool thing. I don't know whether it happens anywhere else. People can let us know. How do people ask for things that are
one of them?
Can I have one of them
fajitas?
Or can I have them?
Yeah.
It's the them. If anything is slightly unusually named, so like if it was Walkers, give us a bag of Walkers, please. Can I have a bag of Walkers? But Doritos.
Or salt, Thai sweet chili.
Thai sweet chili. Them. Anything that's basically not salt and vinegar, ready salted, or cheese and onion has to be asked for as though it's like, you know what I'm talking about.
We're on it, lad.
Not my normal
We're
stuff.
On it.
Yeah. I'll have a bag of them chili heatwave Doritos. Anything that seems to be slightly fancy. It's like them ones. Like I'm trying them. Like I'm just gonna experiment with them. Mate, you've been in here fucking for
every
the last
day.
7 days. You've had a bag of chili heatwave Doritos every single time. Just ask me for chili heatwave Doritos, not them. Them ones.
I do it myself, to be fair.
I do it too, to be fair. Kaya Nolan, have I got that right?
Maybe. I'd have gone with Kia.
Fuck's sake.
Why are they all ones? Oh, right, 1 week ago.
Yeah,
I'm on it now.
1 week ago. In the next episode, can we have some more stories from the trip when Chris bounced the bouncy ball over the plane?
I don't really remember the trip.
This was the trip to Liechtenstein.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So this is the trip where our good friend Joe Holroyd, he'd moved over to Liechtenstein with his girlfriend. His girlfriend became pregnant. She moved back to Liverpool.
Baby
he had
mama.
To stay. Became his baby mama. And he had to stay for a little bit longer to earn a bit more dough and whatever, but he had to come back to his full world of responsibilities. So we had to go over and help them basically move their stuff back because you couldn't bring it. Because as it transpired, and if Philip is watching this, which he may or may not be, we found out that we had to carry loads of their stuff back because she had opted to bring a bag of rocks home with it on her trip.
They're still on her stairs now and they do me head in every time I go there.
She brought a bag of special rocks. Right, I nearly sent you this picture. You can buy bags of stones in B&M Bargain now.
This is ridiculous. And here's the thing, like, I know that like women like different things to me and that's fine, you know what I mean? I like different things to women a lot of the time as well. But putting rocks on stairs, trip hazard.
Yeah,
trip hazard.
Fundamental
I mean,
trip
stupid,
hazard.
They're on every two steps, so you, I don't know why they messed
like,
step
no, just
out.
To clarify, not in like the middle of the step because that would be fucking lunacy.
It's still fucking lunacy.
It is the cousin of lunacy. It's
barmy.
Yeah, it's barmy. Yeah, absolutely.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's within the same family tree of lunacy, certainly. Yeah, they're on the side of the steps, but basically we had to go there to help move stuff back. And hey, part of her weight limit was taken up by a bag of rocks.
And not the stuff you get from Blackpool.
No.
Actual stones.
Which would have, you know, would, I mean, yeah. Anyway, so this was the last night, as you are wont to do in drinking situations, Chris goes full tilt at drinking situations, which often means that you burn brightly but shortly.
I think that's fair and accurate.
Particularly at the time, Chris would drink to exceptional levels and then fall asleep at a genuinely perfectly reasonable time, normally like a 10 or 11 or whatever, whereas most of us are fucking morons and would sit up and drink. And so basically what happened was you came home, fell asleep, and I was like, come on, let's go out and see Liechtenstein. So me and Joe ended up, we didn't go to bed. We went walking through Liechtenstein and we
chasing, in a river, didn't you?
Chasing sheep for a laugh through a field and see if we could get them to run away, which they did, which is great fun. And then we went to the Rhine and we decided to go paddling in the Rhine, and the Rhine is a very, very cold river. We hitchhiked back to the apartment in like some mad Aldi TT. Bear in mind, we were like up to our knees in silt. So, and this guy let us in his Aldi TT. We got all the way back to the town where his house was, and he realised that he'd left his wallet by the Rhine. So anyway, he had to go all the way back, get it back, blah, blah, blah. Chris wakes up perfectly refreshed at this point. And dead annoying.
For you.
Yeah, for us. We were so angry and so annoyed. And you were like a brand new puppy in our face, and we were absolutely fucking destroyed. And you had this bouncy ball. And that was where the origins of the thing, and I still do it to this day, of can I have a look at that, came from. As if someone's ever doing your head in with something, so like you say, for example, because can I have a look at that pen? Just for the sake of demonstration. Oh, that's brilliant. If you need that back, we'll get that back for you. That was just for demonstration purposes. So I had you chasing down the airport looking for this bouncy ball, and then end of the day we got onto the tarmac, and you were like, "I want to bounce this bouncy ball over the airplane," and it was like,
"Well, looking back, it wasn't really one of my best decisions because engines and all that type of stuff." Like,
see, this goes back to episode one, and the fundamental differences in personality between you and I is that's how I live. That's how it's like. I mean, even though the odds are pretty low, I imagine that you would somehow manage to bounce a bouncy ball into a jet engine. the possibility still exists, and you were like, "No, I'm just bouncing it over." You set yourself the challenge of bouncing the bouncy ball over an airplane. And my God, you weren't going to be stopped.
No, I was not.
So,
I did it.
You did it.
What was it? Really?
And everything was fine. So there you go. Anyone. There you go, Kia. Chris once bounced a bouncy ball over an aeroplane. I threw a small basketball over my house the other week.
Well, in. I threw a football out of your garden into the next door neighbours.
Yeah.
The other week.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
Did you get that back?
No. No. Both the kids and a football golf set. Chris turned up and his first go was like, right, this is a par three. You've got to chip it over the middle fence in our garden into the play area. And you basically went, "I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to put it over the fence." And lo and behold,
that's exactly what happened.
First go straight over the fence. Amazing.
I'm nothing if not consistent.
Oh, how the children cried. I've got some questions.
I walked back in after about a minute. And I was like, "What are you doing?" "I've lost the ball already, I'm so sorry."
And to be fair, like the thing would be the basketball thing, my son asked me if I could do it and my wife said don't, and
that was enough.
So I did. I just
Do you do that a lot when she says don't?
Straight into the garden, no comment. Do you need consent if you're married?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Then it's fine. Let's not proceed with that any further. Random questions. Richard 0982. Any bad haircut experiences?
Loads. Next.
Should we talk about your dreads?
No, do we have to? All right, I had dreadlocks. There we go.
You didn't really have dreadlocks.
Oh, I did.
You had mad, backed, combed hair. And so this is, Chris had wanted these dreadlocks for reason. Chris had long hair, as people might have seen from like the promo for the channel. You had long hair and you were desperate to have dreadlocks. So you went in, you got it all done and back combed. And what was their one instruction to you?
Beeswax it.
Beeswax. So you put beeswax in it and then you keep on, and then you make it. And also the second one was cleanliness.
I mean, don't get it dirty.
Don't get it dirty, but don't wash it.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to wash it for X amount of time. Because eventually it starts to clean itself.
Bollocks. Bollocks.
Did you get beeswax? No, you did not.
No, eventually, yeah. Do you remember going around? I mean, I used a lot of EO5 first. Because we couldn't find it for fucking ages. Remember dragging you around like every fucking place. And it turns out we should have known all along, Chandler's, Allerton Road, has everything. How did we not think of fucking beeswax from Chandler's?
So yeah, so you didn't do that. So,
but the first day we went to a house party at Lucy Hughes' house, and for some reason there was a duvet on the floor underneath the doorway inside between a kitchen and whatever it was, who cares? And I jumped over the duvet and twatted my head on the door frame and bled all over it. And it's like the first night I had them. So essentially now I've got blood streaming down my hair. I've got no beeswax and I'm not allowed to wash my hair. Needless to say, I stunk like fucking high heaven.
And then we played footy, I think, the next day, and you were like sliding through puddles and all kinds. That was fucking rank. And the problem with it, of course, is that, yeah, it was... Yeah. Ultimately, there's nothing you can do with it. You've got to stick it out.
And I did for like 3 or 4 months, something like that. And my ma said to me, "Chris, listen, I love you, but if you don't cut your hair off, you're not going to live here anymore."
It was horrendous. It was horrendous. I've had loads of bad haircut experiences, unfortunately, but the one that really strikes me is that there was a barber's up the road from ours. It's like it's the second nearest barber's to mine. There's a guy in there, it looked quite cool. It was like some indie prints on the walls and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, this is for me. And he had this girl cutting hair, and I have no idea what possessed her to do what she did. But you can tell I've got a widow's peak. She shaved it straight.
Why?
I honestly don't know. I know.
Fresh out of barber school.
No, but I see it, like, and I did, like, I think, like, To Asian lads get a lot of this, like they shape the hair a lot more, and it's for some people do it, and that's the way they cut their hair. But I don't, just to clarify. And I not only that, she did some mad thing where she's like tried to straighten it up, and she shaved the side bit here. Honestly, I looked like I look like Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. It was fucking ridiculous. And what can you do? I think I was doing RevMed at the time of this as well. So there's some bit where it's like.
You've had some other bad ones as well, though. I mean, looking back, I never thought at the time they were particularly bad. But the Superman pictures,
oh, the blue hair,
the blonde, and the blue hair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're the things that I think there's bad haircuts and there's bad
decisions.
Yeah, bad decisions. So having long hair was the worst more than anything. It was the lack of a haircut, because I never realised that, like. Because it was around the time, I think, funnily enough, Beckham was growing his hair around that time, and it looked fabulous. And I realised later in life was because he like would brush it and would probably blow dry it and would probably straighten it and all these kind of. No one told me that. No, men don't do those things. I didn't realise that men use straighteners until my brother-in-law, and who might be listening to this as well. He was in ours and he started straightening his hair. It's like, what the fucking hell are you doing?
That's exactly how your mum sounds. What? Without the swear words.
What the hell are you doing? And he was like, I'm straightening my hair. And I was like, men do this?
Are you
and
sure?
Turns out, yes, yeah, apparently.
Let me feel your balls.
Yeah, the men also do that as well. The metrosexual culture thing I didn't get onto until too late. But no, I had blonde hair and then I dyed it navy. I put navy blue streaks in it. And it was shit, but it was one of them. At the time, you think it's fucking cool.
I remember talking the other week about the origins of my long hair. You weren't on the show, were you?
I don't think so.
Do you know the origins of why I grew my hair long?
No. Because you wanted to look like Kurt Cobain.
No. I fucking wish that was the origins of why I grew my hair long.
That's right, I grew mine.
Okay, strap yourself in, Paul. You're gonna have a little bit of a laugh at this one. Did you watch Neighbours when you were growing up?
Bit.
Right. Do you remember Brad?
No.
Brad had luscious, long, blonde hair. We'll put a photo here for you. And Brad, unfortunately for him, was in a love triangle with Lou Carpenter's daughter, who was incredibly fit. I think her name was Lauren. And whoever Natalie Imbruglia played.
Oh, sure.
And I thought, I want myself some of that action. Thank you very much. So I grew my hair long and blonde because Brad from Neighbours was in a love triangle and I wanted some action.
And you wanted to be in a Natalie Imbruglia, Luke Carpenter's daughter sandwich. And you thought that was the key to success. Fantastic, yeah.
And to be fair, I did rather well.
yeah, absolutely. Completely. That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
Right, I think Paul needs to see a photo of Brad from fucking Neighbours here, to be honest with you.
Let me see if I can find him. Because I remember Toadfish. Brad from Neighbours.
That would be him. Oh, that would be him.
Spot on. Hey, he's a fucking good looking lad.
He did
him,
well,
he?
Mate.
Did you have to pay up all backwards baseball cap as well?
I didn't. I do have it now.
Fantastic. Hey, fair play. Hey, listen, fair play indeed. I wanted to.
So have, not Kurt Cobain.
Well, I wanted the Kurt Cobain long blonde hair, and I had the long hair, and I got it cut, and I got offered because I had to dye it, and they went, "Do you want the cap or the foil?" And it was basically the foils cost more and take longer. And I was like, well, fuck that, I'll have the cap. And basically, if anyone and women watching this will get this more than men, they put a rubber cap over your head and they basically stab you in the head with needles to pull your hair out through it. And then they mat it to your head with bleach. And so basically got stabbed 500 times in the head, and then it doesn't dye anywhere near as much. So I ended up with like very fake, like blondish kind of streaks through my hair. Not worth the money all the time.
Brilliant.
And then it wasn't long after that I cut it all off because it looked fucking stupid. There's the thing about long hair. When I was growing my hair, I'd have nightmares that my hair got cut off. And now, having cut it off, I have nightmares that I'm in a situation and I have long hair again, and it's so cripplingly embarrassing. I apologise to anyone who's got it who thinks they look boss, but you'll come to a day when you're walking down the street and you'll catch your reflection and you'll go, oh my God, I look like a fucking tit, and you'll head straight to the hairdressers and cut it all off, and then you'll forever live in that constant back and forth. Right, life coaching time.
Yeah.
Suarez 6064 says, great podcast, guys. I was wondering if you had any tips on talking to women. Now, he's not necessarily saying that he wants to get like sex out of this. Or
I mean, he does.
He does very much because no. Let's be honest.
Because he's got Suarez, his name and his hat.
Let's be honest. I'm presuming this is a younger gentleman, and that's your modus operandi when you're a younger
and
man,
older.
Isn't
to
it?
Be fair,
yeah. Any tips?
None whatsoever.
None.
Honestly, none.
Maybe this is not necessarily on how to bed women, but how to live a less stressful life.
I'll just do what they ask.
Okay.
I am very much of the Sejura friend zone Mormont cloth. I am cut from that cloth, if you know what I mean.
No, not in the slightest.
Jorah Mormont. What? Jorah Mormont in Game of Thrones. Friend zone with Daenerys Targaryen.
Daenerys Targaryen. Oh, the fella, the...
Spoilers, apologies.
Oh, no! Yeah, the fella, he's just been cast as Bruce Wayne in the Titans.
Well, you know, he was very much in the friend zone. Captain, leader, 100%. General of the friend zone.
Yeah.
I am one of those types of guys who gets very much stuck in friend zones.
Okay. Yeah, I've been there. I've been friends.
Everybody's
before.
Been friends.
Everyone's been friends at some point or the other. No, my there's important tips.
Sorry if you thought we were past the Game of Thrones yet. Yeah. We might have to have a little something in there that just says 15 seconds before Chris. Now a minute. Apologies. A minute and a half. I'll stop talking.
The important lessons. One important lesson I learned, and it makes no sense, and this is why women are fascinating creatures, which I think are deserving of a lifetime's worth of study, is women like to be right. Women want to be right and think they're right all the time, but they don't like to be right all the time, as it turns out. So if you find... It's very signifying of this conversation. So, and this is baffling, and I remember finding this out and being like, this is like a maddening revelation, is that women want you to do what, women actually want you to argue the toss, so that and it's almost like they'll put testers out of like where they know they're wrong and they actually want you to call just to prove that you're paying attention. So the trick is, and this is why you'll spend your entire life finding the line of what is worth fighting for and what is not worth fighting for. And there are some things in life that people, that like my wife is desperately passionate about, and I know better than to stick me all in. Because ultimately,
colour schemes.
Well, there's a thing that we've come to the realisation of very late in life. This is a great piece of life advice. You can generate an opinion on anything.
That's true.
But there are things that you don't need to have an opinion on, ultimately, that I've found. So someone could say to me, what do you think of this? And I'm like, and I'm learning now in my 30s now to go, I'll be perfectly honest, I don't care. So I can give you an opinion, but all I'm doing is maybe it's like Twitter polls. I'll click on it. People think Twitter polls are a realistic thing. Often people will click on it just to find out what people think. Doesn't give you a fair variation on it. And that's what is. That's what the trick with women is learn what you need to, what you passionately believe in, and stick to your guns on that, and learn what they passionately believe in and let them stick to the guns, and then just fucking fight it out for the middle ground.
So yeah, it's basically like a war of attrition and marriage at times, isn't it? And I think that's it. You've got to pick your battlegrounds, and you've got to know when to advance and when to retreat and stuff like that. And so, and just remember that anything that you've said in the last 15 plus years, if you've been with the girl for that long,
Catalogs.
For me, it's 10 plus or whatever it is now. It's all fair game. So if you're having an argument about something, it might not even be about that something.
Yeah.
It might be about something that you said 9 years ago when you were blitzed that will get brought up for no reason whatsoever that you don't even remember saying.
It might
in the
be about that
place.
Girl that you had sex with when you were pissed 10 years ago. Well, could you not just let it go?
But these are the things that you have to live with, and vice versa. I would
that's our wives coming in.
Yeah, I know, fucking hell, on the horses. I would genuinely say the best thing to do is to just try and be as honest as you can when you're in an argument with somebody.
Yeah.
Don't try and fucking drag it out. And something that my mum said to me is never go to bed angry with each other.
Yeah.
Get the sex in before you go to bed.
It's impossible. But it's a good way to do it. My wife is very much the kind of person who likes to solve problems in the there and now, but I'm very much someone who likes to go away and stew on it and fathom it out, which means that it's impossible for us to go to bed fell out because she won't allow me to go to sleep until we finish. So I have to like craft a certain degree of space, get my headspace, come to a realisation on it, and then decide whether it's worth going to war over it or not. But you do. You have these things. You learn your boundaries, and you learn the things you're willing to care about yourself as you go along life. For example, one of the great ones we had was the cost of our heating bill, and to which my honest reply was, I am happy to spend my money on gas because I like being warm, and that was the end.
Also, Suarez 606. If you are watching and you are listening. You are obviously probably, I'm guessing, in a bad place right now. And we all go through dry patches.
What's your longest dry patch?
Two years, maybe. 2 years and a couple of months.
Without sex?
Like that. Yeah, something like
fucking
that.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I think I went a year once, and time back to the hair thing. It was when I grew me. I had long hair. I basically went through like a 6 or 7 month dry spell, cut it off, and then... Everyone was going, you look so much better with your hair. I was like, why didn't anyone tell me? It was like, and someone went, we did, Paul. I wish I knew the genuine thing about talking to women, because my thing, I've always said this, I'm only really capable of talking to women in that like, you know, like the flirty way. Like, I became very good at flirting in a general way, but that thing of walking up to someone in a bar or a club and the words that you say and then you leave the bit with that person, I know what those words are. I have those words up here, but I only have access to them when I'm drunk.
8 pints.
And so I never remember what they are, because I've done it. Plenty of times, I'm showing off. It's happened to me, not loads of times, several times. It's happened to me in my life where I've gone up to someone and then I've woken up next to them the next day and I'm like, amazing.
And then I'm like, how did I do that?
What did I say? How did I? It's like I need, like if I could see a psychotherapist or someone or like some sort of dream counsellor who could get this out of me. And if I knew that wasn't, I could tell you those words because I know them. I don't have access to them. It's like having a superpower, but you don't know how to take it. It's like being Shazam, but not knowing the words to turn yourself into Shazam. Sorry, that's all I've got for you. So apologies, Suarez 6064. There we go, Chris.
That was a great podcast. An absolute I thoroughly
pleasure.
Enjoyed that.
Great. Make sure that if you want some life advice, you want some life coaching from us, let me know. Go to the comments on the YouTube video. What areas of your life do you need help from? 2 36-year-old men, one soon to be 37 this year.
You're still soon to be 37. It just happens to be next year by 10 fucking days.
It's still 10 days. The gap. Oh, yeah. It's 10 days into the new year. So, yeah. You're 38. Next year,
fuck you.
We've had mortgages. We've got kids. We've set up businesses. You need life coaching. Let us know what you need help with in the comments. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes and any other good podcasting services.
No, really, though. Do the iTunes one. It really will help us.
Yeah, that'll be a big help. Other than that, thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see it all next week.